Well, howdy. Welcome back to the Ramble Room. I'm Ken, and I'm here with Diane, Sarah, and Joseph. And we have a special guest that will be on with us in just a few minutes. Her name is Marty Halverson. Marty is a former Wyoming legislator, and the list of her credentials goes on and on and on. The one that I would like to bring out is that she is a mentor to I don't know how many people who are getting started in understanding how Cheyenne works or doesn't work, whichever your perspective might be. And so we're pretty thrilled about the opportunity to have her on. We're going to talk about House Bill 256, which is the Wyoming Sovereignty Act. So the question then has to do with this Wyoming Sovereignty Act, House Bill 56, and it's 256, excuse me. And it's my understanding that you were instrumental in the formation of that. You were on that committee that spent quite a bit of time putting this together. Can you kind of fill in the backstory there?
Sure. Thanks, Ken. Yeah, you know, this even precedes the Biden administration. There is talk that this is a knee-jerk reaction, but it is not. Let me go on the record and say this has been evolving for a number of years. In my first term in the legislature, I brought a bill that would have called for some very small nullification. And this was in 2013. And LSO gave me a hard time about it. You can't do that. My bill, they refused to write it up. And then it came with a 3-page, you can't do that memo. Now, flash forward to 2019. Some members of the Wyoming Republican Party got together independently of the party and decided that we were going to push a bill or a conversation about state sovereignty. We had Justice Samuel Alito's admonition in our brains that says states are sovereign, it's time they acted like it. So this has been going on for a number of years. We did go to party leadership and ask if we could form an ad hoc committee to pursue this idea. And they said yes. We then independently again of the party went to our friends and said, would your county like to be represented on this committee? So we rounded up members from 19 counties, and some counties declined to participate, but others were on board. And we have spent the last year, year and a half, coming up with the concept of this bill. A lot of it was brainstorming. A lot of it is what direction do we want to go? At one time, we were thinking of working with other states to develop a similar republic review bill that could be shared among the states, hopefully passed jointly. But then we hit upon the Wyoming Sovereignty Act. And this bill has been worked with the help of other states. Yes, we have reached out to other states. We've shared materials. And House Bill 256 is the result of our labors. We thought this would be easy. We thought it would be easy in light of the executive orders that came out of the Biden administration in January. So we put it together. Our poor chief sponsor, Bob Worf, had a heck of a time working with LSO. When we finally got it drafted by the LSO attorneys, it still needed a lot of work. It was clear that LSO either did not comprehend what we were trying to do, or might have been thwarting our efforts. There's no way we can prove that intent, of course, but boy, we were frustrated. Even when Representative Wharf brought this bill to its first committee hearing last Friday, he had to bring a page of amendments because LSO still had not gotten it right. And the rest is history. It was not moved.
Could I ask a question?
Sure.
Are you talking about 2 days ago, Friday, was the first time the committee heard this?
Yes.
Okay. They did sound a bit surprised. Had they never even heard this was coming?
On the contrary, we do think they heard it was coming. And thanks to LSO's four-page you-can't-do-that memo, they had all the ammunition they needed to shoot this down.
So they'd had it. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
They'd had the same opportunity I had to read this before, though.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Just making that clear, because they sounded so overwhelmed by the concept.
They were overwhelmed by the concept, and not having heard any advocacy for the concept yet, all they had was the LSO memo, which cautioned against this, against that, against the other thing. And we suspect, we fear that the committee came in with the intent of not supporting the bill.
Yeah, the questions absolutely sounded like that. We've already made up our minds. We just wasted, how long did you sit there, 40 minutes of your time, an hour?
Something like that, yeah.
Not to mention all the research before that. And just one of the goals that we have here is to educate people who may not be up to speed on how state government works, how government works. LSO is Legislative Services Office. As I understand it, they're a group of lawyers that look at bills and put up red flags if they think there's a problem. Is that it correct?
That's correct. Often you will see bill drafts coming back to the sponsor, even committee bills, as well as personal bills. But drafts will come back to the sponsor with staff notes interspersed throughout the bill. This could be problematic. This portion might not comport with state statute, or relook at this provision. So yes, it's often that LSO catches something that a sponsor or a committee might not have considered or just might not have thought of, an unintended consequence, for example,
right,
or a conflict with existing state statute that has to be addressed in yet another statute.
So that's
common. What is uncommon is to get the arguments against a bill in a memo from LSO attached to the bill.
So it was a loaded deck there.
That's right.
There's another thing that kind of has shocked me over the last probably 6 months, certainly since Biden was actually elected and began his slew of executive orders, is there are all these people that are acting surprised by that. We knew this was coming. If you listened to him, if you knew anything about the progressives around him, it was obvious this was going to happen. I say that in part because when I was a candidate a year ago, one of the first things I was talking about is we need a firewall for Wyoming, which is what I would call this, in order to protect us from unconstitutional efforts. And it doesn't take the LSO or a constitutional scholar to understand that where they're going with voter laws, where they're going with firearms laws and any number of other things is absolutely not constitutional. That was one of the things that came up in this discussion. People were saying, well, we're not lawyers, so we don't know. Well, if the lawyers are stacked against you.
Right. And Ken, I love your expression, a firewall. And that's exactly what this bill was intended to do. As for anybody being surprised by what the Biden administration came up with in the first week and is still coming up with, I don't see how they can be surprised. Joe Biden ran on this.
Right.
Ran on, and no one can be surprised.
They shouldn't be, especially if they listened to our podcast, because we predicted what he was going to do and had something like 50 different predictions. And within the first couple of weeks, it was just like, okay, within 4 or 5 days, he had done most of that.
Well, we already know
That's
how many
right.
people listen to that.
Yeah. We're trying to change that. So if you would speak for just a minute on the SAPA, the Second Amendment Preservation Act, and the status there. I know that one of the things you have done so beautifully is keep up on everything that really matters. And maybe you could give us a little bit of insight from what you're hearing and what's happening.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have been following SAPA, of course, but it's not in my wheelhouse. I've been acting mostly for Wyoming Right to Life. That is my job this year. But the SAPA, where has that landed?
Last I saw it went to LSO.
It's on general file in the House. So it did pass out of the Senate. Let's see, it passed out of the Senate. Oh, no, it's on general file in the Senate. It hasn't even been heard yet. And it did pass out of Senate Judiciary 5-0,
right.
But it is on general file in the Senate. And Ken, tomorrow, Monday, March 22nd, is the last day for bills to be heard on general file in the House of Origin.
Can you believe that in Wyoming, the gun capital of the world, this is even a struggle at all?
Yes, I do. But I say that from a perspective of someone who has been in the trenches and has seen the power of the county sheriffs and chiefs of police, the legal industry here in Wyoming, the prosecutors especially. I do believe it. I do believe it. And this is why... It comes down to the grassroots, Ken. Every county attorney that runs for office in our counties needs to be vetted on Second Amendment freedom. Every county sheriff that runs needs to be asked, are you a constitutional sheriff? Do you realize that you are the ultimate law enforcement authority in the country, the county sheriff? And so many of them just don't even know what a constitutional sheriff is. I am lucky in Lincoln County that our sheriff is completely aware, yet he signed on to the letter from the Wyoming sheriffs and chiefs of police questioning some of the aspects of the Second Amendment Preservation Act. And I don't know how enthusiastic his opposition was, but they made some points that need to be addressed. And if we can get this bill up for debate in the Senate, then the conversation can be had. But to let it die is inexcusable in Wyoming.
Right.
Senate leadership needs to bring this to the floor very quickly.
I think that's part of what made me so angry about the Sovereignty Act thing, was they didn't even have the courage to put this up for a discussion or put it up for a vote. They just, we've got all these other important things to do. We've only got a certain amount of time. And the important things that they have to do are raise taxes from right to left and up to down and every other side.
Oh, my gosh. Can you believe? You know, Ken, there's one little... a fee increase that has escaped a lot of notice. But if you need to get a death certificate, that's going to cost you an extra $5.
Who are you going to bill? Sorry. I know the answer to that. It was just my demented humor.
Yep, the airs, but people are lying awake at night wondering, what services are we offering Wyomingites that we can tack an additional fee onto?
Right.
And sure enough, they came up with death certificates.
Well,
for Pete's sake.
We are trying to organize a group of people to help educate. We'll attempting to organize a rally here in Sheridan to allow people to come and hear what happened in Cheyenne. Most people never have a clue what's gone on.
And you know,
put a better picture.
I have got to say something here. Most people don't have a clue because they are working, raising families, playing with their families on the weekends. They trust that the people they elect to go to Cheyenne with an R after their name are going to represent their values. I push back against the voter apathy conversation because it's not apathy, it's trust.
Yeah.
And our legislators go to Cheyenne and betray that trust at almost every turn, it seems. But yes, the voters need to learn how that trust has been betrayed. Do you know that your Republican representative voted to increase this tax and tax and the other tax?
I was just going to bring up Kinner, who happens to be the opponent that I faced and the representative for the area, obviously, that I live in. And I heard him say, and I have it recorded, a number of things that were just flat untrue, talking about how I'm 100% pro-gun, talking about how I'm a fiscal conservative, and we have to be able to trap these people to contrast them and let the voters know this person comes home and all you hear from him is what a great conservative he is, and you trust him, and he goes down there and does what he does, and we've got to get rid of people like that.
And every time using a voter record, a voting record against an incumbent has been the main focus of an opponent's platform, nine times out of ten, the incumbent will go down.
Yeah, goodbye,
so
Rosie.
We just have to keep saying, our representative said this. Do you realize this was how he voted? Well, why'd he do that?
Yeah.
Because he wasn't truthful. And a lot of representatives come back and say, well, it's complicated. That was a very complicated bill.
Oh, yeah.
Can every bill can be distilled down to one or two core values? Does it raise taxes? Does it not raise taxes? Does it promote private property rights, or does it violate private property rights?
Is it even part of the purview of the legislature?
We can have a 50-page bill, but if it comes down to this is a violation of Wyoming sovereignty, then you know it's as simple as that. The worst bills we face are the bills that demand conformance and compliance with some federal action.
A lot of people don't realize that Wyoming's legislation, that are Republicans, their voting record is not very good. I think we're setting it like a 40% on actual bills for Republicans.
Oh, I was just
Sarah
looking
has the
at
paperwork.
I was just looking at the American Conservative Union Foundation rankings, and the average for Republicans I think was 65%.
It's 60% now as of
60%.
Last night.
60%.
Well, as of 1 o'clock this morning, it was 60%.
Unbelievable. And by the way, I just looked up. The Second Amendment Preservation Act is number one on the general file list in the Senate tomorrow.
Well,
so
this seems like a no-brainer bill.
Oh, yeah.
Like this should pass with flying colors, and it seems like there's a lot of cowardice going on over there.
I was going to say something about a spine, but
right,
yeah, we'll say it for you.
And you got jellyfish in Cheyenne.
So we're gonna do another segment after this phone call of some stuff that I was digging up last night. One of them was during the last campaign, every candidate was sent something by the Wyoming gun owners, and it was a candidate survey, just asking, I think it was 9 questions in terms of if this comes up, would you be in favor of it or not? They noted on there, Wyoming gun owners noted on there, that if you didn't participate in the survey, you would automatically be assumed to hold an anti-gun position. And of the people that took the survey, the overwhelming support was for guns. But it was remarkable to me how few candidates were even willing to respond to that. And then among them, there were a couple of those rhinos that have the R next to their name but refuse to answer all of the questions. So now we have these people that are in some office, some Senate, some House, and they're not standing up for our gun rights. So once again, we're looking at a list of candidates who filled out this survey and said, yes, I would support this. Yes, I would sponsor this bill. And then when a bill comes through that is so basic and so constitutionally principled, we can't even get it heard?
Well, that's because there are some very powerful lobbyists who don't want to upset the status quo, who don't want us to go down this road with gun-free zone repeals and Second Amendment Preservation Acts. And again, the people that are working, raising families, are trusting their representatives and their senators to vote correctly.
Well, less and less all the time, I can tell you that.
And they don't have time to go down to Cheyenne and lobby. I mean, that takes a lot of time, a lot of travel, you know, hotel expenses, and, you know, just maybe you might get a chance to speak on a bill.
Right. We just experienced that with a different bill last week.
Yeah, Diane and Sarah sat through 2 or 3 different sessions trying to be heard and reminded us of watching you sitting there frustrated.
And then wasting time by answering questions like, how did you pick 6 people?
Well,
where did that number come from?
there's an answer for that. And darn it, it was a good answer.
Right.
It was probably a better answer for the Senate. But most joint committees are staffed with 9 House members and 5 Senate members. Those are the joint committees. The House members can usually override the Senate members easily. And we thought 3 representatives, 3 senators, was going to be a good, balanced committee.
Sounds smart.
Well, that's some common sense there.
Yeah. And actually, that was just a dumb question.
It really was. It definitely seemed like they were just trying to run out the clock.
Yeah.
Of course they were. We
don't have enough time, so let's just waste some time with some really stupid questions. Diane had something here.
Well, that was just my last thing before we let you go, if you have to, is that I lost track of how many times someone said, well, Marty probably knows the answer to that question, and then they didn't let you do it.
And you were on camera, ready to go.
Yes. I know it. LSO let me in at the first mention of my name.
Yeah.
Or not LSO, the committee secretary.
Right, so you were very patient
heart.
And lovely, and you have nice dogs and all that.
And it was plant watering day, as I'm sure
you
saw.
Yeah.
We recognize that.
So yep. My question is, are there any of those questions that you did not get to answer that you would like to answer now before it's too late?
Well, one conundrum that both LSO and our sponsors faced was, does it require a statute to form a legislative joint committee? Our position when we wrote this bill was that no, it doesn't. As a matter of fact, our effective date was this shall become effective upon immediately upon the signature of the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House. Yet LSO was adamant, and it turned out baselessly adamant, that it required all necessary work as required by law, which would have meant the governor's signature and all that. So we, in the spirit of you know, pick your battles, we let that go. But sure enough, it did come up. But I'm glad it came up that neither LSO nor the leadership could answer the question, how do joint committees get formed? We know how task forces can get formed. We know how select committees can get formed. Those are done by the leadership of the House and the Senate. The other thing that was brought up was the oath, for Pete's sake.
Right.
Well, we've already sworn an oath to the Constitution, but even the county assessors do have their own different oath that they take. Yes, they promise to hold to the Constitution of the United States and the state of Wyoming, but they also pledge to fairly assess property without any undue influence and, you know, things that are not in the oath that legislators take or that any other elected takes. So that was the basis for our developing our own oath. And I wish I could have had a little more time to address that.
Right, and I don't know why that one seemed so shocking also.
Yeah, but and
I wanted to be sure and tell you that I really appreciated your answer to the question about growing government when you said, no, it grows representation. Oh,
exactly.
Oh, very good.
Exactly. And it was going to cost, what, a whole $14,000 a year. You know, they're talking about $3 million for overpasses for deer and antelope.
How much does it cost to empty the trash on the two private jets?
Oh, well, that's a whole other story.
How do the deer and the antelope know how to use the overpass? Is that there, will they be directed, and will there be classes for the deer and the antelope?
Yes, yes. And probably
going to interrupt their playtime.
And probably a toll.
Yeah, there got to be a fee.
You don't want to see it.
Right.
A safe passage fee. Before you do go, though, because Right to Life is in your wheelhouse, and that's also something that we are acutely interested in here at the Ramble Room, do you have any updates, any things that are right at the forefront of the battle?
Oh, boy, I sure do, Ken. As you know, as I mentioned earlier, tomorrow is the deadline for bills to be heard on general file in the House of Origin. Our Senate files have done well, but our House bills, the ban on funding for abortions at the University of Wyoming, the bill prohibiting discriminatory abortions, the abortion-informed consent bill, and the Human Heartbeat Protection Act, those are on general file in the House tomorrow, Monday, March 22nd, and if they are not heard, they will be finished for the session. So it's important for your pro-life listeners to call House leadership tomorrow and call their representatives and urge House leadership to bring these bills far enough up on the general file that they're guaranteed a hearing before the deadline passes tomorrow evening.
So that brings me to my last question, just to sort of tie it all together. We would all really like to think that this bill that we've been having discussion about is going to pass tomorrow, but in the worst case scenario that it dies, what do private citizens do to try to protect those Second Amendment rights for themselves within their legal rights?
Buy stock in lead.
Oh, Oh boy. Just stand your ground. You've got the Constitution on your side. Stand your ground. You might be cited for something. Darn it, go to court. Do what Lyle Williams did. Solicit funds for an attorney and take it all the way up to the state Supreme Court. Just don't roll over.
Sometime when you have more time, call us back, and we want to talk about the Article 5 Convention of States. I'll tell you right off the bat, I'm against it. I think it's very risky. But there are a lot of people that I respect on the other side of the fence, and this is another discussion that we get a lot of questions about. So,
oh, no kidding. And good people can disagree. I testified against the Senate Joint Resolution number 2, even with Chairman Senator Anderson twirling his finger, getting me to speed up. yeah, right there on camera.
Yeah.
So, classy people. This is just one of those things we have to continue to oppose. I'm glad it failed. You know, the vote was 14 in favor, 16 against. So it failed by the skin of its teeth. And I'll tell you, for 24 hours, we were worried that it would be brought back for reconsideration. But it wasn't, so it is dead for this session. But there's so much money behind this, and I don't know what kind of money is behind it, but there are so many wealthy people, special interests. I don't know where the funding for this proposition is coming from, but again, it's the wealthy special interest versus the people that are working and raising families. And
who's better organized at this point? That's the scary part.
Exactly. But fortunately, we have had variations on this resolution for many years. Nothing much has changed to persuade the people who are opposed to this risky venture. So I don't know what they're going to do to move it along any further in Wyoming.
Well, Marty, it's been great having you here. We hope that this is only the first of many. We want to give you any opportunity to add anything else that's on your mind.
Well, as I say, House Bill 256, we have got to reestablish our relationship with the federal government. It's crucial, because my biggest fear is that there are very powerful interests in this country and in the world that would love to see Wyoming, with its mere 500,000 residents, get turned into a national wildlife refuge, national park, energy museum, you know, drive to Casper, see the pump jack.
Yeah, I like to see them working.
Yes.
Look, Mommy, a roughneck.
You know, you might not want to include this, but when I get an inkling or a hankering to see some real men, all I have to do is Google roughnecks throwing chains.
Yes.
And the videos that come up, I see these fellas, and I just bless their hearts every single day. Hard workers making Wyoming the energy capital of the country. And it just takes some time. Just Google roughnecks throwing chains and see the work that these men do.
You may not know it, but our oldest son, Seth, we did an interview with him a while back about the truth about fracking. He's been in the oil field for 15 years or so or more. And
nice.
he is kind of a bit of a videographer, and he's made some movies, and they are absolutely wonderful. Maybe someday when we get a little bit farther along, we'll be able to publish one. But it shows what you're talking about just
yep.
the conditions they endure, the work that they do, and their attitude while they do it.
Yep. Freezing, boiling, you know, in the hot sun and
hungover.
During blizzards and hungover. Yeah. Bless their hearts. Nothing cures a hangover like throwing chains for a couple hours.
That's right. Well, we've really enjoyed this. Thank you for being with us. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.